Hello and welcome to another episode of the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. In this episode, my guest is Christian Shearer, founder of We the Trees, a crowdfunding site for permaculture and other environmental change projects. Crowdfunding via the internet, most well known due to the site Kickstarter, allows a community of people to come together and support various efforts through donations, which can be as little as a dollar. Projects that might not secure a loan through traditional financing still raises needed funds to proceed. Crowdfunding forms the core of our conversation, which focuses on an in-depth understanding of We the Trees, including the funding method, payment processors, project submission and approval process, and how you can help raise awareness for this new venture. We begin, however, with an introduction to Christian, including how he found permaculture, creation of the Panya Project, and the collaborative effort that went into forming TerraGenesis International. You can find more information about this project in the show notes or by visiting thepermaculturepodcast.com. I hope you enjoy this time with Christian as much as I did. On to the interview. Well then, Christian, if you'd like to give us a little bit of introduction about yourself and the projects that you're currently working on.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having me on, Scott. I'm excited to contribute to the entire permaculture movement and the permaculture podcast. I got into permaculture from the angle of personal fulfillment. So I was just reading recently an article that said every single permaculture person comes from a different direction. And mine happened to be coming from the angle of trying to see how I can be the most fulfilled in my life, in my lifetime. So just as I was graduating from university, I was looking at those questions, like, what do I want to do with my life? How do I want to be in this world? And how do I want to make myself as deeply fulfilled as I could? And through, you know, long story short, through looking at those questions, I ended up trying to gather a group of people together to start a little community project, to buy some land together. And I had a background, when I was 12, my family moved to Thailand. I spent middle school and high school living in Thailand and got to know the language a little bit, got to know the culture a bit, and understood that it would be not only possible, but also welcoming. The people there would be welcoming and really friendly to outsiders having a project there, which I also know is very not true in other parts of the world. So for economic reasons, for climate reasons, and for just, you know, the exciting possibilities that were there, I presented to a group of my friends the idea of buying 10 acres in northern Thailand. In the end, we got 11 people together to each chip in money, and we purchased this land, not really knowing what we were going to do with it. But as I said to them, I don't see how our lives couldn't be enriched by having this piece of property. At that point, I really didn't know anything about permaculture. Someone recommended that I go take a permaculture internship, and I ended up doing that at Lost Valley Educational Center outside of Eugene, Oregon, which was a really great experience. It taught me a lot about permaculture and a lot about deep heart-centered communication and the important interpersonal aspects of community living, which may very well have served me even more than the physical elements of permaculture that I learned during that time. Once we had our land, and we basically, our plan was, let's host a permaculture design course on the land and create a design during that course. So I wrote to a number of teachers, none of which who I really knew who they were, because I wasn't in the permaculture crowd at that time. And I heard back from a few of them, and one of them was a guy named Jeff Lawton. He wrote back to me and said, if you're hosting some Thai folks for free, which was our plan, I'd be happy to come and do it for whatever you can give. And I wrote him back and said, I just want to be very clear. We can't give you very much extra on top. We can definitely pay for your travel and all that. In the end, we had an amazing course with about 12 Thai folks that it was translated into Thai for them. And there were 7 of the 11 founding members at that course as well. And during that course, the final design for that course that every single design group worked on was the design for our property, which was incredible to do. And Jeff Lawton is an incredible teacher. He's probably the best teacher of anything that I've had at any time. So I highly recommend anybody, even if you've already taken a course, a PDC course, to take one with him. And he's probably the reason why I'm here talking to you today. The inspiration from that course has led me on to many years of working with permaculture. That was in 2006. Right then, that's basically when the Panya Project was born. The Panya Project is now a volunteer-run, profit-sharing education center in northern Thailand We host multiple permaculture design courses every year, as well as natural building courses, eco-village design courses, and kind of general community living permaculture internships. The people that come through there have incredible feedback, and I'm just in awe about how much inspiration that original seed of just the original seed that was planted of like, hey, why don't we get land, has now spread to so many people. And it really makes me feel so, I don't know, just really enriched by the fact that project continues with me or without me doing such good work.
So even if you're involved in the project directly or working on other projects around the world, you still find inspiration from that project continuing?
Yeah, exactly. As I said, it's run as a volunteer-run education center. So there's a group of people there, and some of them have been there, a year and a half or so. Well, one woman has been there since the beginning. She's kind of the only real core long-term member. And other than that, it's like young permaculture people who want to get more experience, want to broaden their understanding of permaculture and really dig in deep into the actual work of it. And they come, and it's kind of like an apprenticeship in a sense. They come and spend a year there doing some building, doing some gardening, hosting courses. And all the courses that come through are fairly low cost and fairly low profit margin. But any profits that we do have, we end up splitting up and profit sharing with all those folks. So it's really cool, a really awesome model, because the people that live there are really served in terms of their needs. They get to take the next step in terms of their own development of their permaculture understanding and beyond permaculture as well, just even social change and what we need to transform this planet. And they also get that little bit of profit share that actually means by the end of the year being in Thailand, they probably go home with a little bit more money than they came with, including their round trip airfare, which, nobody's making a big living off of being there, but almost everyone who comes through there grows, learns, and gets inspiration for the next step, whether they're there for a day or whether they're there for a year. So I think it's a really beautiful thing that continues, and I had something to do with it. I certainly can't take credit for how it manifests itself now.
You planted that seed and everyone else nurtured it and grew it into what it is today.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And I do still return there. I've gone back there every year and spend at least 3 months, 3 to 6 months there. And this coming year, we're hosting probably our biggest natural build that we've ever done. We're rebuilding the sala, which is the main structure at the property. It's a big open air structure. It's going to be a double wide adobe brick structure. We've got a couple really wonderful builders that are coming and leading the building of it. And then myself and another guy named Jeff Wagado, a Belgian builder, are going to be leading an internship at the same time. So if there's anyone out there who's interested in taking a adobe building internship, we're going to be doing a two-story, quite large building that'll get a lot of great experience.
I will certainly include any links for additional information to that in the show notes so people can find out more information about that opportunity.
Cool, thank you.
And then from there, I was talking with Mary Johnson the other day, and I know that the two of you work together with Terra Genesis. Would you take a few minutes and give us a little bit of information on that before heading into We the Trees?
Sure. Actually, Panya Project is the place where the seed for Terra Genesis started. Ethan Rolland, who is another one of your interviewees on this program, came to Thailand and taught a permaculture design course at the Panya Project before I was certified as a PDC teacher. So he's also one of my teachers. And it was with him and Mary Johnson, another guy named Gregory Landois, as well as with Eric Tonsmeyer, that we decided together to form Terra Genesis International. Each of us has our own set of skills and our own background and experiences, and we figured that together we'd be able to make a much more solid international consulting firm. And that firm has done really, really well. It's served the needs of us that are involved in it, in the terms that none of us are looking for Terra Genesis to be our full-time work, or that we actually have an office building that we go to, but that we can team up with other really highly motivated and excited, knowledgeable permaculturists and work on amazing jobs. The process of forming that company was really great for me too, and it really informed the process of forming We the Trees, the crowdfunding website that I'm excited to talk about soon. We actually did a full day of holistic management design for our Terra Genesis company when we first started. So we only had 3 days together to really figure out what it is that we want Terra Genesis to be. And we took one full day of that to do holistic goal setting, which is really incredible hearing from each of the five people in our group why it is that they want to be a part of TerraGenesis International and what it is that they want TerraGenesis to do for them. And then also sharing what else they want in their lives and what they, you know, what they really value and that they don't want TerraGenesis to get in the way of. So that means time to spend with their sweetie, time to have in relaxation, other work and other areas of interest. So it was out of that we really figured out what we wanted our business model to be, and it's really been serving us ever since then.
You found that collaborative process for laying the groundwork for the organization really has led to its growth and each of your ability to continue to interact with it and grow it in your own way?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I really didn't know what to expect of forming this new company and how we were going to interact with each other and how much time and effort we needed to put in. And that day of holistic goal setting really made it clear to all of us where each person stood, how much time they had available for this project, how much energy they had for certain aspects. Some of the members of the group have set goals of only traveling internationally once a year or even once every other year. So we know that there's that limitation on it. Some of the members of the group are really excited about doing projects that don't necessarily pay well, but give high social returns. And so we looked as a group about, okay, how do we want to balance our work as a company between those jobs that are high paying, but maybe less social return, and those jobs that are low paying and maybe higher social return. By having that holistic goal setting process, it really informed all of us and really got us all on the same page about what it is that we are after as an organization.
It's a very different way to go about that. My background is originally as an intern at a military facility. So I was used to that very clear hierarchy of rank and order. And then even in the private sector, have encountered a lot of that as well with the management structure. And this is who you report to. And this is the owner or the board and how all that works.
Yeah. And then, I mean, one of the biggest differences as well is that in the private sector of business, generally, there's only one bottom line, and that's how much profit can we make? What jobs can we take? What can we do? What can we tweak to be able to see greater profit each month or each year? Though one of our holistic goals for each of us was to be making a living that supports us, it's not at all our primary goal. But it's really good to define that and be clear. Yes, we want to be able to make a living for ourselves and our family, and we're doing this work on this planet because we really believe that there's some serious work to be done, and we have some skills and some experiences that can support that work being done.
Well, and that, I feel, bridges pretty well into We the Trees, as you take your own interest in finding a way to raise capital for these projects that are going on, reading some of the background information you provided about how you saw the need for this ability to raise money. I believe you contacted, what was it, Kickstarter, to see if they would consider a side project for environmental change?
Yeah, that's right. I initially, this idea came up for a couple of reasons. And one was that one of submitting a proposal to Kickstarter and having it turned down from them. So actually, I wasn't asking them to set up a platform for environmental things. I was asking them just to approve a permaculture documentary about permaculture in the tropics, which we are now moving forward with, and it's almost completely been filmed and everything. We will be raising money to complete the final steps of that documentary on We the Trees shortly. That campaign is not airing yet. But basically, I heard back from Kickstarter and they said, you know, we receive hundreds, and actually now I know they actually receive thousands of different proposals every week. And they need, and I respect them, their need to choose the ones that fit their model closest. That's fine. It's a really good business model and a beautiful site. But what I discovered out of that is that there is a need for a crowdfunding platform that's focused, you know, primarily on environment and sustainability issues. For me and all of us on our team, we're all permaculture certified people. Permaculture is the core of what We the Trees is about. One of our criteria for all the campaigns that come through our site, whether they are campaigns about social change, about sustainability, about organic farming, or about permaculture, is does this campaign live up to the ethics of permaculture?
So there would be an approval process for anyone who posts a project?
That's right. So there's actually the way it works on our site is that you come in and you you post your campaign idea. There's first kind of a pre-approval to make sure that you don't do a bunch of work and then just get rejected. So you could get on there today without really having thought it out very clearly and just run it by us. So you click on the link for create a campaign. It'll lead you through what our vision of, you know, the campaigns on our site should look like and what we don't allow and what we do allow. And then you could submit your idea to us and we'll tell you, yeah, that looks like the right thing. You're approved to post a campaign on our site. At that point, we send you a link that gives you the true posting page. And then that before you go to post that, you need to really refine it and make a video for your campaign and really think clearly about what rewards you want, what you want your potential contributors to know about you and why the project is worthy of receiving their funds. And then once that is complete, that needs to be submitted. And then we again look through it and either approve it or ask the person to adjust and make some changes to fit what the model is.
And I would just like to say that the URL for this site is wethetrees.com for anybody who's just checking the audio of this and doesn't get the show notes, so you can go check it out.
Yeah, and that's right. And as of today, Friday, July 20th, wethetrees.com is publicly launched. Today was our public launch day, and it's been growing really, really well. Permaculture Research Institute of Australia posted an article on the front page of their site, permacultureglobal.com, took our update and put it as the highlighted update on their site. Agrowingculture.com, which is about sustainable agriculture, posted an article for us there, and a number of other blogs and sites have promoted us, I hope, because they can see the value in what we're trying to do here.
One thing I wanted to ask looking at this is, do you have any non-English language pages at this point?
We do not have any non-English language pages.
Okay.
And that is a possible place to grow in the future. And in fact, even though we just launched today, we've been soft launched for the last 2 weeks, trying to get some campaigns to populate our site. And in that 2 week period, someone from Taiwan has contacted us and asked us if they could support us in helping to make a Mandarin language version of We the Trees. So the fact that that's already been approached shows us that that's something that's in demand. And certainly I could imagine that the French language and Spanish language would be up there, as well as probably a lot of others. So that may be a place to expand in the future.
Being connected to this beautiful, crazy, wonderful thing of the internet, I have listeners from countries all over the world, and sometimes I can become a little English-centric with a lot of work, and then it's when someone sends in a message that is clearly English is not their first or probably second or third language, and just making sure what information is available out there.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. I appreciate that, because this world isn't a world that's dominated in English. In fact, Mandarin is the language that's spoken by more people on the planet than any other. We should keep that in mind, as we tend to think that English is good for everybody.
Yeah, and I know from some conversations with folks lately, that's one of the things that they say when getting involved in international permaculture: make sure you have a second language.
Right, right.
But not to take us off of We the Trees, you've had this wonderful response so far with your soft launch. What direction and what projects are you looking at funding? Like, what types of funding are you looking at doing for people? I realize that it's raising financial capital, but other than meeting the ethics of permaculture, are there any other limitations that you're looking at when approving projects?
Sure. So what we've been putting out there is that this is a permaculture crowdfunding site, but it's not only crowdfunding permaculture projects. It can be crowdfunding anything that's environmental or sustainability related, or anything that's social change related. And I don't think those things really have much between them. In terms of transforming this planet, and the goal that we're really after at the core of what we're doing is to create healthy, engaged citizenry with strong, healthy ecosystems around us, strong minds, strong bodies. And so really anything that moves our planet towards that vision of health and connectedness can fit on this website. Now, that can be something as simple as one of the campaigns that we have up there now is a woman who's has recently built her small 170 square foot cabin. She lives electricity free and is just trying to do a simple living homesteading. So she's looking for $300 to help expand her perennial food crops, and specifically blueberries. She wants to be self-sufficient in blueberries. So something as simple as that to a project like We have a couple others on there right now. There's one that is a project in Nepal that's trying to raise money for gardens and orchard. I wouldn't say orchards, but maybe a small food forest for a school in Nepal. So it's reaching not just an individual doing a homesteading project, but a whole group of kids and their whole community will be impacted by that. And then there's another project on our site, which is also worth mentioning, is there's a group called the Hummingbird Project, and they went to India this last year and worked with Vandana Shiva. And Marilyn McHugh is a trained, she wouldn't say this, that she's a trained soil microbiologist, but she's been trained by Dr. Elaine Ingham and the Soil Food Web Incorporated. And she went and met with Vandana Shiva, and they feel really moved that they were able to contribute something of value to Vandana's actions, because Vandana Shiva has done so much for the movement. They set up a small soil food web lab there with a microscope and a little camera that shows the images of the living soil food web lab in that site. And they said that the farmers were literally jumping out of their chair when they saw the difference between the chemically sprayed farms that a lot of them were interacting with and the living soil of organic farms, and being able to see the little nematodes and bacteria and fungi and cilia and whatever else that are in the soil really made them realize, wow, if we're going to be growing living organisms that basically rely upon the nutrients provided by a living soil food web, we need to be, you know, actively taking care of our soil food web. So they're raising $2,500 to be able to take a trip back to India and set up two more soil food web labs in what they call the suicide belt of India, where a lot of people have been, I can't remember the numbers right now, but it's disturbingly high amount of people have committed suicide because of the conventional agriculture and all the contracts that they need to get involved in. And oftentimes the way they commit suicide is by actually drinking the chemicals that are sold to them by Monsanto or whatever other country company that it may be. So projects that are as far-reaching and as important as that, down to projects as simple as buying some blueberry plants for a small homestead, are all going to be accepted on our site. And really, when my colleagues and I were thinking about, okay, which ones should we accept and which ones shouldn't we accept, as long as they fit the model of permaculture and fit the ethics of permaculture, we are fine with putting them up on the site. What we think will happen, and only time will tell, is that really the people that contribute to the projects will be the voters about which ones are the most valued. So we'll see some projects get funded really quickly, and we'll see others that don't. So maybe it's not really up to us at all which ones are, you know, the successful projects on our site.
In the end, the community who is going to the site and looking at these projects are going to be the ones who determine that.
But that's true. And there's another aspect to all of this, is that whenever you're putting a project on a crowdfunding site, it really is your own responsibility to do the promotion for that project. If it was completely up to just random visitors to come to the site and like say, oh, wow, I'm really inspired by this project in Nepal and I want to give money to that school, that one may succeed completely off of the inspiration of a random visitor to the wethetrees.com. Whereas other campaigns might succeed because the person has such supportive family and friends and network that says, yeah, I really want you to be able to take, for example, a PDC course. So someone could get on this, you know, another aspect of our website that I as a PDC teacher was really excited about is that people can raise tuition for courses as well. A person gets on, they make a little bit of it, they say, I would really like to take a PDC course, permaculture design course, and this is what I'm thinking I want to do with my life. This is the way the permaculture design course could really help me in that way. This is what other people have said they've been affected by a permaculture design course. And so I'm calling on anyone who feels moved to contribute to my education. Now, even though that's inspiring, I don't imagine there's going to be a lot of people dropping in and contributing to that when they could also be contributing to a soil food web lab in the suicide belt of India, but that person can send it to their family and to their friends and to their network and to their aunt and uncle and their grandma, and they might be able to very easily meet their campaign goal without the support of the wider community. And so our website can function in that purpose as well.
Provides a lot of functionality and many options for anyone who's interested in getting involved.
Yes, it does. Yeah. I'm really there's a couple, there's another angle at which I'm really excited, and I don't even think that I have explored this angle to the full extent that it could be a good tool for the permaculture community. And that is the angle of being able to assess the market potential for a product that you are considering doing. So let's say you've got a orchard of some trees already, and you say it's an apple orchard, and you're producing organic apples, and you're thinking it would be really wonderful to invest in a whole bunch of bee swarms and also have a side business of honey and beeswax, and those would be complementary enterprises. But I don't have the funds to be able to buy the swarms of bees and all the equipment, and I'm not really sure that there's the market in my local area for that honey and those other bee products. So what this site allows this person to do is to assess the market potential of that idea. They can post a campaign on Wheat the Trees and say, we need to raise, you know, whatever it might be, $5,000 to be able to purchase the bee boxes, the swarms of bees that will work the best in this climate, to purchase the bee suits, the extraction machine, the smoker, all of these things. And what we'll give as rewards are those products that we would be selling anyway. So if you're willing to pre-buy some honey or pre-buy some royal jelly or pre-buy some beeswax candles that we'll be selling, those pre-purchases could pay for the upfront costs of that business. And because We the Trees is an all or nothing site, meaning that if they don't reach their goal, then the project doesn't move forward. So all they've done is learned that there isn't the market potential in their area if that happens. So I believe that this could be a really powerful tool for anyone in the permaculture or organic farming's local foods movement to use this market potential tool on the crowdfunding website to find out if there actually is the support and excitement for those products in their local area.
For someone who's interested in putting a project together, as you say that this is an all or nothing funding formula, are there minimum or maximum amounts of funding that someone can ask for at this point?
The only limitations that we've set in terms of amounts are that it's a minimum of $100 funding goal. So a minimum of $100. And actually at that level, our time as a company is not even really paid for. But we know that on this planet, there's lots of places that $100 could do a lot for you. We wanted to keep that number as low as possible. There's no maximum to the amount that you can set. There definitely is some strategy in terms of figuring out what level you'd want to set your goal at. You certainly want to set your minimum amount at the minimum amount it'll take to actually do what you said that you'd like to do, because you need to be able to complete what you have kind of contracted to do with all the contributors. On the other hand, it's nice to try to set the goal a little bit higher, because people feel more motivated to give if you haven't yet met your goal. There's definitely some strategy out there to figure out what level you put your campaign goal at.
I could easily see someone writing an FAQ about this as they do the work and see which ones get funded and which ones don't, what projects seem to have the most meaning in the community and where those dollar figures are.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to the funding, is the money that's donated to the project, is that pooled only when the project is completed?
That's exactly right. So we didn't want to have to deal with a bunch of refunds and returning the money and people being confused about why the money went out and then came back in, if that in the case happens. So we used all pre-approved payments. So when someone says that they're giving a contribution for $100, basically they're pre-approving with PayPal or with WePay, which are two payment processors. They're pre-approving to give that money, to allow that processor to pull that money out at a later date if the person achieves their goal. If the person doesn't achieve their goal, then no money changes hands, nobody pays any fees, nothing happens at all.
And you say that your payment processors are PayPal and WePay?
That's right. When a person creates a campaign, they get to choose whether they want PayPal or WePay. And WePay for now is only available to United States residents. So for the most part, PayPal is our dominant payment processor on our site. So we've chosen to do an all or nothing system on our site for multiple reasons, and it actually makes a lot of sense once you hear it. First of all, the main reason that we do all or nothing, meaning a person either meets their goal and they get fully funded for their project, or they don't meet their goal, even if it's only by $100, they don't get any of the money that was donated. The reasons for this are at least three. And the first one is that, let's say I am fundraising to purchase a portable sawmill, and that I've told everyone I need $8,000 to buy this wood miser sawmill, and the rewards are going to be that I'm going to mill up some nice 2x4s from locally milled wood and be able to give it to you, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people are excited about this, and you raise $5,000 out of that $8,000. The problem is, if my campaign ends and I receive $5,000, I can't buy the sawmill for $5,000. So I've made all these promises to all these people about what their rewards were going to be and what I was going to do with the money, and now I'm really stuck holding $5,000 with no way of actually fulfilling my promises. So that's the main reason why we've done an all or nothing system, is that what you've promised to do, you've asked for a certain amount of money to get it. If you get it, then you are able to move forward with it. If you don't achieve that goal, then there's no strings attached. You haven't made any promises to anyone. The second reason for the all or nothing is it really encourages the campaign creator to keep the energy up and to get more promotion out there and to get more donations coming in. It definitely, I mean, I know this from experience, is I can be very excited about something one day and get on there and post a campaign and be like, this is so exciting, I'm going to raise, you know, all this money to do this project. And then like 3 or 4 days later, I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really excited about it. So, you know, if a few hundred dollars come in, then great. Well, we don't really want projects that function like that on our site. We want people to be in it and pushing for it and promoting it and creating a lot of energy for it and actually pushing to meet their goal. It does that as well. And then the third thing it does is that the contributors know that it's an all or nothing campaign. So contributors feel more motivated to either give the money themselves or to get the word out to other people. Hey, there's this amazing project that's happening. It needs to get $3,000 to be able to make it happen. We only need $800 more to complete the campaign. So if you guys come and check it out, and if you feel moved, contribute. Those three reasons make all or nothing crowdfunding more exciting and more, I think, just more legitimate as well.
You mentioned about someone raising not quite enough money because of the all or nothing. Is there any system in place if someone puts a project up and says that they're going to accomplish something, any kind of recourse if they don't complete it, other than like just the community not funding their projects in the future?
Right. Well, the campaign creator and the contributors basically are signing a contract between each other. There aren't legal documents for that contract, but still there could be legal action taken by a contributor toward a campaign creator if they do not achieve what they said they're going to do. This person has contributed money towards a project with a promise that X and Y were going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then the contributor has the legal ability to ask for their money back or to take other legal action against the campaign creator. We're hoping that that doesn't come up on this site, and that the ethics of the permaculture crowd keep that to a very minimum. From the We the Trees perspective as well, just to mention this, is that our company functions as a platform to connect projects with contributors. We basically function just as the platform, and we personally don't give any guarantees or can't be held responsible for anything that happens or doesn't happen.
So even though that you, Christian, speak highly of some of the projects on We the Trees, that is not an endorsement necessarily by We the Trees of these projects.
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly true.
I think that what you've got here is a brilliant idea. And having been online with your soft launch for as few days as you have, looking at the projects that are out there, seeing the funding that's already gone into some projects, I mean, and it's not just a few dollars here and a few dollars there. I'm looking at one project that has raised almost $500 already.
Yeah.
And there's really a lot of movement going on.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see the activity. I believe that as we speak right now, we probably just got our 100th user to actually register on our site. Just before I got on with you, we had 99. We're close to getting our first $1,000 of donations. Like, you know, maybe within the next 24 hours that we will have gone over the $1,000 of donations mark, which is really exciting. with the minimal amount of promotion that we have been doing, we've been seeing a great response from the permaculture and sustainability community. A lot of people writing to us and saying, this is a great idea. I'm excited to utilize it for something down the road. So it'll be fun. All of us here at We the Trees are really excited to just see how it goes and see how the momentum keeps up.
We've covered a great deal from your very beginnings all the way through We the Trees and the idea and how all of this functions. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or say about this project or anything else before I thank you for your time?
The only thing I could say is that one of the most important things, we're presenting the permaculture community with a new tool. We'd like as many people in the permaculture community to know that tool is available to them, that they've got that in their tool belt. So the one way that people could help that are listening to this program is to let their community know that it's out there, whether that's through Facebook and sharing a link, or whether that's through emailing their PDC group, or just sharing it with their friends in their local neighborhood. And the more people who have access to utilizing it when it is the appropriate tool.
Well, I know I'm already sending out links and information to all of the folks in my circles. I certainly hope that my listeners will as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate that. Our team here at We the Trees is really excited for We the Trees to be a positive, catalyzing force in the permaculture movement, and we hope that it can help your project as well.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you very much for your time, Christian.
Yeah, you too, Scott. Thanks for what you do in this world.
Thank you for joining me for another interview. If you have comments or questions about this or any other episode, go to thepermaculturepodcast.com and leave a message or send me an email. That address is show@thepermaculturepodcast.com. Until the next time, take care of yourself, the earth, and each other.